You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome to Sunday School Dropouts, the podcast where an ex-Christian and a non-believing sort of Jew read all the way through the Bible for the first time. My name is Nico Bakulich.
And I'm Lauren O'Neill.
And let's get biblical.
Let's do it. First, there are some ground rules you have to follow. They're not rules and you don't have to follow them. I don't know why I called them that. I'm the ex-Christian. I was raised Presbyterian. I'm now an atheist.
And I'm the non-believing sort of Jew, the non-believing. I thought that was funny that I say that. Like I'm the only one.
The only one.
I don't know. Also, this is not a Christian Bible study podcast.
And it is not appropriate for children. I'm reading the New International Version of the Bible.
And I usually read the NRSV, New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, and it's true this week, too.
Wow.
I had you go in there for a second, but then
I fooled me.
Pulled you back.
We also have with us, in the studio, in the flesh, a special guest. She is a writer who has written for, among other places, The Toast, Vanity Fair, and Midnight Breakfast, where I am a senior editor. Sulagna Misra, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for being here.
Hello.
So we will start by asking you, as we ask all our guests, what is your religious background?
So I was brought up Hindu, and I'm kind of still that, but in a kind of lazy way.
Okay.
I call Hinduism a disorganized religion.
That's cute. I like that.
Because there's not really, the rules always, like, it's like the rules are just like, take them or leave them. Like, it's fine. But then there, the rules that are important seem made up or like seem kind of unfair. Like, the temple, like there are temples in India that only Indian people can go into. And okay. I have a cousin who has really fair skin, and they wouldn't let him in until his mom like yelled at them and was like, this is my son. they didn't do that. They weren't like, show us your Hindu card or whatever. He was just like, they're like, you seem white, so you can't come in.
Are you telling me that everybody gets issued a Hindu card? And if so, why didn't he just show his?
Because
it seems like an easy solution to the problem.
The thing is with the Hindu cards is that you can only play them once.
Oh.
Once a lifetime.
It's a funny kind of game. Sometimes the only way to win is not to play at all.
So can you give me like the elevator pitch for Hinduism?
Okay.
So there's a bunch of gods.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say elevator pitch because in Hinduism there's no missionary work. There's no conversion or anything.
Right.
So there would be no elevator pitch. It would be like, because like it's like you can do it or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So basically there's a bunch of different gods. And sometimes those gods are tied to a certain region of India or a certain like sect of Hinduism or a certain caste or certain family or whatever. And there are some main gods that like people agree on. But basically the way that I was brought up thinking about it was that all the gods are just one god. They're just different forms of that same god.
And are those called avatars? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're all the same god, and it's called henotheism. It's not polytheism or monotheism because it's all like different versions of the same thing.
So that's kind of like Christianity. Christianity has the Trinity, where it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they're all like three. You could call them avatars.
Easily, yeah.
Of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I know that, like, I have friend, like, I don't think this is necessarily, like, the same for everyone, but the way that my family brought me up is that, like, and, like, not like, oh, like, this is how you should think of it. It's just, like, I'll be like, oh, but what about Jesus? Or, like, or those other guys? And my dad would be like, it's all the same person.
It's all the same. Interesting.
So I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, that's cool.
So it's very flexible.
Yeah.
What do you have to, like, do?
It's like there's dietary restrictions, obviously.
That's not obvious to me.
Oh, really?
Right. You can't eat beef.
Yeah, right. I can't eat beef.
That one is.
That's
obvious.
Where the expression "holy cow" comes from. I'm right. Pretty sure. That means that in India, and this is true, that cows wander the streets just freely and all the time, and like sometimes when I visit my grandparents, we have to move the cow out of the way so we can get into the driveway, that kind of stuff. And then I also don't eat, well, I used to not eat pork. And then when I went to grad school, my roommate was like making bacon and I was like, what's that? But then I have like friends who are just straight up vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Actually, our religion came from that whole discussion because like in Hinduism, so like in Hindu history, there were like the rulers would have meat. Like, really freely and stuff. I think it was mostly, it was, like, chicken and, like, not beef or pork. But they would have meat, like, chicken and fish and stuff like that. And then other Hindus were like, that's cheating. You can't do that. Also, you're supposed to be setting an example for the rest of the country and stuff like that. And, like, the rulers were like, we're not chained. This is how we want to live our lives. Uh-huh. And then those Hindus, like, broke off and became Jains.
Oh.
Like, J-A-I-N.
I-N, right.
And they don't eat meat. And I think they also don't eat anything with garlic.
Garlic or onion.
Yeah, yeah. Garlic or onion.
And no root vegetables. Yeah, exactly. Because that kills the plant.
Yeah. Sometimes I get
this was a subplot on Jane the Virgin.
Yeah. Sometimes I get that confused with Jehovah's Witnesses. But Jehovah's Witnesses can't get blood.
Yeah, they can't have blood transfusions.
Yeah, blood transfusions, and that's
different. Or celebrate Christmas or birthdays.
Oh, yeah. I learned that from Community.
Is there anything comedy, half-hour comedy TV
so
can't teach us?
Religiously educational.
But yeah, but like in
also, if you're ever in any BART station, feel free to talk to the 15 Jehovah's Witnesses that are always there. They can tell you everything.
Yeah. I haven't, my grandma has talked about cooking, like, for Jane's, and she'd be like, oh, they don't have root vegetables, and they don't have this. And I'd be like, but what, plants definitely have feelings. Like, don't you care about them?
Wait, I'm sorry. Plants definitely have feelings. could you explain that?
I think she was just, I think that's her personal thing. I don't think it's a hint or something. Okay.
Do you remember when we were hanging out at the California Academy of Sciences with another friend of yours who's raised Hindu?
Yeah,
and
I've heard you that.
We saw this like news item that it had been discovered that this one farm was feeding cows defective Skittles, like that was their food. And we were like, wow, that's disgusting. And then you were like, well, I don't eat beef. And your friend was like, yeah, I don't either. And I was like, well, I'm a vegetarian. So actually, this doesn't affect us at all. Give the defective Skittles to the cows. I don't care.
Yeah, which is kind of bad because it's like, shouldn't we be like worried about them right. For their own sake?
Answer no.
Yeah, we have no moral ground.
So you were telling me before about going to the temple and like doing a food offering, but then you eat the food.
Yeah, it's called prasad. It's like when you, it's like religious food that's usually like sweets or fruits or like sometimes like flowers, but you don't eat the flowers, but like you throw the flowers and then you clean them up later. Okay. But yeah,
that's
like
considerate.
Yeah, you present like so it'll be like a puja, which is where it's like an event, like a religious event, kind of like service, except it's at random days.
Okay.
like in the Jewish calendar, where the holidays follow like the lunar calendar, yeah. Like Hindu Hindu holidays also follow the lunar calendar, and it'll be like, oh, sometimes it'll be for a certain god,
mm-hmm.
like sometimes you're praying to the god Lakshmi, who's like the goddess of like wealth and prosperity, or Saraswati, who's the goddess of education and learning. And sometimes when I would go to puja, like one of the offerings, because you have like offerings that can be food, which is prasad, and then like flowers, and then but then with Saraswati it's like books.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, but also you don't eat the books.
you throw the books on the ground and then you clean them
then
up
you
later.
Clean them up later.
Yeah. And that's another thing I learned, just to like keep telling you stuff about Hinduism, is like another thing I learned is like it's bad for your feet to touch like other people and like and books. So if you do that, you have to like...
So you cannot throw the books on the floor.
No. You have to like touch the other person and then touch your forehead and touch your heart. Or you could just do your forehead. I that's the system I came up with as a child. I was like both forehead and heart, not just forehead.
So. That's like kind of like the sign of the cross.
True. It's also like a OCD coping thing.
Yeah, that's true. Which is like a lot of... Christian rituals mm-hmm. are based on like OCD, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so basically you make these offerings and then like they're used in the ceremony, like you throw the flowers, you put the books in front of them, like you have the food, like you present it in a way while you say like whatever the religious sayings
like, this
are.
Stuff is for you.
Yeah, basically. Kind of like, or like talking like talking about why you're doing this and stuff like that, and then afterwards all that food is taken and like given to you or to other people, or yeah, and it's just like part of the process is like you offer it up to God and now it's like holy food. And like sometimes you don't even have to go to the temple, but like sometimes if someone else goes to the temple and they bring back prasad, that's good for you to eat.
Oh. Because
they brought it back for you.
It's like transitive holiness property. Interesting.
Yeah. And like another thing is like a lot of times, like it won't necessarily be sweets and fruits only. It can also be certain rice dishes. Like my favorite is rice with dal, like cooked together. It's like Gechurdi, which I can spell for you later. But yeah, and then you just eat it. And with other religions, I don't understand going to temple and not having something to eat.
Well,
there.
In Christianity, when you go to church, you have a bite of bread,
the wafer, and the body and the wine. Blood. Yeah, yeah.
And then afterwards, you go out for pancakes.
That, traditionally, yes. Well, actually. You could do that, or there's also donuts afterward.
Okay.
Donuts and coffee and lemonade for the chillums. those donuts are big in the church.
Got it.
But yeah, and then like even at the temple that's near my parents' home, there's a place to get food. Like it's just like a restaurant connected to the
temple.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Where you can get really good dosa and like idli and so many good food. I really want some. It's really hard to get like good simple Indian food that's not too oily. It's like some of the best, like one of my favorite restaurants. It's like going to the temple.
That seems like a pretty good incentive to go to the temple, like, you know. I feel like in Christianity, you go, you sit through the sermon. It's probably boring, you know. And I mean, you can have donuts after if you want, but like,
the church isn't going to do that for you,
right? Yeah. Do you have anything to add?
I'm trying to think. Oh, another thing with another god. If you want to talk other gods, they're all pretty fun. Kelly Kapoor in like The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Once, like the way that she described Hindu gods is like one of the funniest ways. She's like, oh, like there's like a bunch of different gods and like they all have their own powers, kind of like the Care Bears, you know. It's kind of like that. Yeah, like one other god is like Ganesh, which is the elephant-headed god, and he got that in some like weird fight with his parents, and like someone's head got chopped off, someone was made out of wax,
just
and
standard, they were, like, family
they couldn't
drama.
Find the head.
We all know
so,
how
like,
people get elephant heads.
Yeah, so then they like replaced his. They gave him an elephant. They took a baby elephant's head. And, anyway, you give out statues of it. At weddings, because it's supposed to prevent obstacles. And when you give the statue of a god to someone, they get that benefit, and you also get that benefit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Double benefit. So when people get married, do they then receive, like, a bunch of Ganesh statues? Like,
Well, they are the ones giving them
they're
out.
They're the ones giving them out. Okay.
Yeah.
So then... Do people have, like, little statues of these during wedding season? Like, little stashes during wedding season? You just have, like, a bunch of Ganeshas, like, piling up in the corner. Can't put them in the corner, yeah. Probably.
I mean, yeah, I can see that. Like, I remember getting, like, one time we went to a few Indian weddings and I had got, like, three of them. So.
You started a nice little collection.
Yeah, it was cool. I was like, I kind of wanted a Kali this time. I was like,
I just have, like, the same Care Bear over and over.
It's like collecting, like, Pokemon cards, too. There's like a god for fire, god for water.
It's important not to take them out of the package too, or they lose their value. That's my understanding.
And I assume that the god of water is strong against the god of fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Just like
them.
In Pokemon.
I don't know them as well.
So now you're on territory that she understands.
I'm trying to think of other gods.
Is there a psychic grass type god?
Psychic grass? No.
Are insects strong against psychic for some reason?
One other thing in Hinduism. Wait, do you want to talk about the Amarchitrakatha?
What is that?
So like those are comic
books. Oh, the comic books, yes.
Yeah.
So you were telling me about these comic books. These are just like a popular pop culture thing, right? Or are they like specifically produced like for religious education?
Well, it was like, I don't know when it was made, but I know the people who made it were like, oh, like, kids in India know more about
about Pokemon.
I think it was earlier than that, but like about like American and like Christian and like all those ideas better than anything with Hinduism or India or Indian history also. So like if we make these books, which is Amarchitrakatha, which translates to our picture books. And
our picture books.
Yeah. And they're like...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Who can argue with that title?
And they'll be about Hinduism, but they'll also be about history. And like not just like Hindu history. It'll be like anything in Indian history. Like I learned a lot of history through that. I actually learned... Like based on one of those comic books, I did a paper in grad school.
That's amazing. What was the paper on?
So it was about King Ashoka. He was from the same state of India that my family is from, Odisha. And he like took over India. He was known for being like a very bloody like war king. And he killed a lot of people and like he was just known for that. And then both his children were really frustrated with that and they both became Buddhists. And he was really shocked. He was like, you're turning your back on us and like you're not, why aren't you Hindu anymore? And they're like, we want peace and we want to be peaceful. And so he started to learn more about about Buddhism. And then he, in learning about Buddhism, he became a Buddhist as well and wanted to repent. And he, one thing, so my grad paper was on the fact, was about like a form of diplomacy and like spreading information, and like what he did basically was he wrote down like information about Buddhism and like tenets of Buddhism on like giant what are those things?
I hope we're going to talk about steels now.
Oh no. tablets that he put around the world.
That could be a steel, right?
Steel-ish. We had to learn all about steels in the Old Testament.
Steel?
S-T-E-L-E. They're like tablets that you write stuff on and put in public, basically.
Well, like, he would, like, put those around, like, not just India, but, like, around, like, Russia and... Or not Russia, like, what's it? The Middle East and stuff like that. Maybe Russia. I don't know.
Maybe Russia.
But, like, Yeah, that's what I wrote my paper on. I was like, he did this thing 5,000 years ago. It counts as diplomacy. It's funny because when I read this book that we're going to talk about, I read this at like a party where I was with the friend that you mentioned.
Classic party reading.
Yeah. And we were also talking about Hinduism because our other friend was like, why are you vegetarian and Salugna isn't? And she was saying like, oh, like, it's like the thing with karma. It's like it's all these things that you do. Well, you know what karma and reincarnation are, because that's also
sure. So I mean, I know like the Western version of it. I mean, I think you know the Western version of karma is just like whatever goes around comes around. It's not, which I take is not precisely accurate to how it's used in like Hinduism and Buddhism, but
it's more like karma is like keeping track of everything you've done, and then like using that to create the plan for your next life. It's not necessarily like paying for something, but it's also kind of like we're paying attention to what you're doing.
With the we being just like the universe.
Yeah. And like my friend was like, oh, but like I have decided like I've never eaten meat and like I've never been tempted to just because it's like an important thing for me. And like with Salugna, like she knows that like that's like part of her karma, or like, she put it in like a different way, or where it was like she was like just turning to me and being like, yeah, like she knows what she's doing. I was like, I did not know. Am I really gonna get in trouble? What if I don't? But it's tasty. Oh no. Oh well.
And so then the idea is, if you have good karma, you're reincarnated into a better life. And if you have bad karma, you're reincarnated into a worse life?
Well, it's more like whatever you do in this life will reflect on what your next life will be. So that's kind of like people automatically think bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you do bad things, it can like it can be connected to your next life. But like in your if you do good things, that could also be part of the next life too. But like also it's less about doing good or bad, and it's more about what you did, full stop.
Sure. There's consequences for your actions.
Yeah.
That's just how the world works.
Yeah.
But, like, also it keeps working that way over many lifetimes.
Yeah.
Got it. What is your experience with Christianity and the Bible? Like, obviously, you live in America, so
you're an honorary Christian.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, you know, it's part of pop culture and it's part of, unfortunately, the government. But what is your experience with it specifically?
You learn about Christianity through pop culture. And if you're not part of any Judeo-Christian religion, if you don't know anything about it, you learn some stuff that doesn't necessarily like make sense together, or you don't know what is like what people say.
Yeah, versus... breaking news, you learn that stuff too if you're Christian, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's still sometimes it still doesn't make sense even if you do.
But also like the stories I would hear or find out about were really odd. Like I was like, so the way I learned about like Judas and Easter and stuff like that was because on Easter there was some like on a network show there was this, oh, we're going to do a movie on like Jesus and like the 12 apostles.
Disciples.
Okay.
There's apostles too, but there's apostles who weren't disciples.
Oh.
But there's 12 disciples.
Like how there are bugs that all like...
Yeah, it's a square rectangle situation.
It's an insect bug situation.
Yeah. Okay, So like I was just watching that. Like my parents weren't like, you should watch it. They were just like, whatever. And I just stayed up and I think they were watching something else. But we had another TV, like this dinky old TV that I watched. I watched it on because I was like, I'm curious. And also it's like kind of claymation-y, so it looks cool. But
that's how they get you.
But like Judas kept saying like, when are we going to talk about taxes? Like, when are we going to talk about like taxes or the Romans or whatever? And Jesus was like, what does he say? Caesar can do whatever he wants.
Render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like pay your taxes.
And then Judas was like, this is stupid. But he said it. I think he said exactly those things. Like, he said the things that were in the Bible. Like, what you're saying. Like, he didn't say it the way I'm saying it. Like, it was... The script was taken from the Bible. But then at one point, like, so you see Judas, like, going to betray Jesus and stuff like that. And then he meets Jesus by himself and then, like, kisses him on the cheek. And then Jesus is like, would you betray me with a kiss? And apparently that's, like, the exact wording.
Yeah.
And I remember, as I get older, I think about, like, do Christian teens, when they're dating, text that to each other?
Absolutely not.
Are you sure?
That would be super blasphemous.
Yeah, it would be super blasphemous.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of want to do that now.
You need to find a Christian today just to, like...
Wow, okay. But, like...
Just get on OkCupid right now, change your, like, parameters to just search for Christians. Be like, we're going to get really kinky.
But another thing is, like, I read something, someone was like, I don't know if it was on Twitter or some article or whatever, but people were like, oh, like, that's supposed to be, like, they actually kiss on the mouth or whatever. I'm like, they kiss on the cheek in the cartoon, I thought, so I don't know who is right. I think the cartoon was the correct one.
You've weighed all the options.
If it was, like, claymation, that definitely speaks to, you know, accuracy. Like, yeah. they don't take the time to put that in claymation.
Oh, that's true. Like, it's all done by hand. Not accurate. And you're not going to do it all by hand.
Yeah, you're not going to spend all that time. Mm-hmm. It's like on Parks and Rec when when he got depressed.
And he takes it. He's like, that took me 2 weeks. Yeah, it was, like, it was 2 seconds. It's funny. That reminds me, like, other religious stuff, other, like, Bible... pop culture stuff will be like watching all the cartoons around Christmas time again, like claymation stuff, especially the Little Drummer Boy, because he's so angry.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's great. He's so angry. Like, he's like, no one's paying attention to how good of a drummer I am. I'm working so hard. He doesn't have parents.
I've met a lot of people like that.
Yeah. he's like
all drummers.
Yeah, he's like, I'm working so hard and, like, I don't have family and, like, I don't care about family, I don't need anyone, screw everyone, like a cat in a person form, like, who plays the drums. But then he like plays for the baby Jesus, and he's like, the baby Jesus is so sweet. I was like, but that could go for any baby.
Oh, but also, like, when you're a newborn baby, you don't like drums. You know what? The last thing you want to put near a sleeping baby is a drummer.
How do you know? I mean, like, newborn babies might hear drums and, like, smell chicory, you know?
It's they
like
haven't differentiated their senses.
Yeah, their brains are all mixed up.
And also, maybe that's why they thought that, he's a savior. Because he likes drums.
He's like, they're like, this is an extraordinary child.
This baby likes heavy music.
Likes heavy music and frankincense.
This baby is way too hardcore to be immortal. What about Judaism? What have you, like, absorbed from Judaism? I mean, neither of us has, like, that deep of knowledge to be like, oh yeah, that's accurate or that's inaccurate. But, like,
well, one thing with Judaism is that, like, they have arranged marriages, just like in like the very Orthodox Jewish.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I have seen the movie Arranged, which is about this, like, Orthodox Jewish woman and this religiously conservative Muslim woman, and they both get arranged marriages. Because my dad was like, you should watch this.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, yeah. Another arranged marriage movie was The Wedding Plan, I think that's what it's called, that came out last year, and it was about this woman who was like, I'm getting married at the end of Hanukkah. I need to find a groom. which was really good. But other than that, it's like through, because I had, like, there were, like, Jewish kids in my school, so it's just like, oh, we don't have homework on Rosh Hashanah or something like that, or, like, Hanukkah exists and stuff like
Hanukkah
that.
Hanukkah exists.
Well, like, yeah, and it's like one of my favorite movies was The Prince of Egypt. Like, I love, that movie was dope. Like, that was so good. That movie's romance, like, I loved it so much. When I became an adult, I read this, like, novel about Zipporah.
Was it The Red Tent?
No, no.
Oh.
It was just by some guy. I don't know. It was fun.
Oh, okay.
I was like, it's like fan fiction of the fan fiction.
Excellent. There's some weird stuff about Zipporah in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zipporah, I think is how you say it in Hebrew. She had to emergency circumcise their son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Moses was feuding with a demon.
Or God. Or God. Unclear. Yeah. Someone was about to smite him. Mm-hmm. It was either God or the devil.
And she had That's in the book. That's okay. In the book that I read.
Yeah. She had the quick thinking to just whip out the knife real quick and circumcise somebody.
And also there's a part in 30 Rock where Liz Lemon has to read a random passage from the Bible because she's stalling for time on something, which is kind of rude. But anyway, to do at someone's wedding. She just turns to a page, and I'm like, I bet she's going to turn to the page where Zipporah has to circumcise. And she did. She really? Turned to that page. I was like, I know this happens because I read that fan fiction of that fan fiction.
That's so funny because I didn't know about that until we did it on the podcast, even though I grew up, you know, memorizing Bible verses and everything.
So, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some music, and then we'll be back to, I guess, hopefully talk about 3 John, or maybe not.
Maybe we'll just throw this whole podcast in the trash.
Yeah. Will we go and live in the trash forever with the Bible? Stay tuned to find out. Okay, bye.
Bye. Welcome back to Sunday School Dropouts. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Nico.
And we also have with us Sulugna.
Hello.
And now we're going to do the thing that we're supposed to do for this episode, mm-hmm. which is talk about the book of 3 John. Shall I give you some fast facts?
Please.
Guess what? It's the third Johannine epistle.
That's all you got?
Actually, I actually have some for this one because, okay, the standard thing, it was supposedly written by the disciple John. It's probably not. Perhaps written by the same person who wrote 1st and 2nd John, but who knows?
I assume you're familiar with the Johannine epistles.
So long. You're intimately familiar with the Johannine epistles, right?
So was John one of the disciples?
Yes.
Okay.
But he didn't actually write this stuff, but like the tradition in Christianity is that he did. This is the shortest book in the entire Bible, Old or New Testament.
Woo.
Shortest one. Does not mention Jesus.
Nice. Doesn't have time.
Mentions God, but not Jesus or like the Son of God or the Messiah or anything. No Jesus. Normally I will read, you know, like some books, I'll read some articles. Kind of hard to find ones about 3 John. So instead, I have a direct quote from Wikipedia here. There is no doctrine laid out in 3 John.
Nice.
Also, Wikipedia, in a desperate attempt to find something interesting about this book, says it's the antepenultimate, aka third to last book in the New Testament.
Beautiful. Really getting that character count
it's
up.
It's like being third to last is not interesting. We don't need a special word for that.
We couldn't find one like super lazy divinity student that was just like, I got to do my dissertation, but
I don't want to do a lot of reading. So if there's nothing about Jesus or doctrine,
what does that leave?
Yeah. What is in 3 John? We can give a brief summary of it. It's a letter to a man named Gaius. Could be the same Gaius who Paul mentions as a traveling companion or not. Who knows? We don't really know when this book was written is another thing, because like none of the church fathers even mention it until like the 3rd century. And then they were like, oh, does this belong in the Bible? I guess.
It's too inoffensive to get cut. Yeah.
So John, or whoever the real author is, tells Gaius, thank you for showing hospitality to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even when they're strangers to you, we know there's a lot of Christians kind of traveling around in the early church, founding different churches, getting
into trouble, having adventures,
getting like stoned by mobs.
When you said getting stoned, I was like, oh,
getting stoned in the bad way,
staying up all night and watching the sunrise over the beach,
thinking about what your fingers really do.
Mm-hmm.
No, they need some hospitality. They need places to stay.
Hospitalianos, is what they need.
A church to gather in, because there's not very many, like, actual, like, there's not a building where you go to church yet. It's just, mm-hmm. like, people meet in the house of usually, you know, like, a rich person.
Or their local pool Christian. Hall.
With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Neither of you got that reference. Okay. Apparently Gaius, whoever he is good at this. He hosts people in his house. But John mentions this other guy, Diotrephes, who, quote, loves to be first and will not welcome us.
Mm-hmm.
Direct quote, so when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So this guy's a real jerk.
I agree. I'd say he's kind of a little bee.
This guy's kind of a huge little bitch.
See, this is why I was surprised when you said it has no doctrine, because I'm like, basically, the doctrine is calling out bitches.
Okay, wait. You just came up with a fucking doctoral thesis for a theology student. Is calling out little bitches a tenet of Christian theology? And then he wraps up by just saying, like, hey, do good stuff, not bad stuff, because God likes good stuff and not bad stuff. Briefly mentioned some guy, Demetrius. He's like, oh, yeah, Demetrius, he's great. Anyway, bye.
He also says, I have much more to write to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink, which is a confusing thing to say.
Well, that's what the author of 2 John also said.
Right.
And if you recall, my Bible had a footnote explaining what paper and ink were. It was like, paper was made of papyrus. And I was like, great. Thanks for the illumination.
Is that a Bible pun?
Oh, thanks for the illuminated manuscript, NIV. Slugna, what was your impression of this book?
I was really happy it was the shortest one.
Because obviously you were too busy partying to prepare properly for the show. It's okay. We understand.
But basically, I really liked that it was basically a gossipy, kind of petty, kind of fun email.
A bitchy email.
Yeah. And it's kind of like what I was saying about the whole, there could be a doctrine around this. It's like, because, like, who hasn't, overanalyzed emails? Like, emails, texts, tweets, press releases, I don't know.
Epistles.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just overanalyzing a text. And I'm like, this is a very relatable thing, because I've definitely overanalyzed an email. Sometimes it'll be, like, a nice email from a friend, and I'm like, what are they actually saying about me?
And you think they might be saying something like, well, Selena doesn't show hospitality to her brothers and sisters in Christ.
She always wants to be first.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who knows what emails are being sent around about you? About us.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I shudder to think. I don't think I've welcomed any Christians to worship in my house.
Not to worship. We've had them on the show, though.
That's true. Good for us.
Is that a form of worship?
It's to be on this show.
It's like worshiping at the altar of our own vanity.
It's like the exact opposite of worship.
Oh, that's funny. That's another thing I wanted to add about the whole Christianity.
That's funny. You are super vain.
I was just writing a bitchy email about you the other day.
I'll put that in my... I've been drafting a bitchy email. It's been in my drafts. It's time to send it. No, what I was going to say is, like, another thing we're talking about the Bible and discussing it. It's like another way I learned about Christianity was like having religious friends. And I've been to church with them, or been invited to church, or been invited to talk about a passage in the Bible. And people are always super nice to me. And I'm like, I feel like I'm going to disappoint you.
Oh, are they like, hey, come to our pizza party? And then you get there and they're like, just kidding.
No, not like that. Not like that bad. But like, It'll just be like they're really excited that I'm there, and I'm like, I'm observing you.
This is an anthropological expedition. Yes. This is not a conversion situation. Yeah.
Like one time I went with a friend and like in college and like freshman year of college, and we talked about Ruth, who like sleeps with some guy to save her and her mom. Anyway.
Yeah, Ruth is a great story.
Yeah.
She doesn't sleep with him. She just takes his dick out of his pants while he's sleeping. Mm-hmm.
Because that's how her stepmom says...
Her mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law, excuse me, says the best way to capture a man is. Yes. Go to his work.
Wait till he's asleep.
And then
his work.
And then just get that snake out. And then everything will take care of itself.
And it was so weird because like everyone just it was like all these like sweet people. Like my friend is so sweet. And I'm like, we're all just going to analyze this like nothing terrible happened.
So this is actually interesting. This is... So the guy's named Boaz, who she basically sexually assaults while he's sleeping.
Whose snake she removes from its covering.
Whose snake she charms. Mm-hmm. And it's super common in like evangelical churches when you're talking about like dating and marrying, people will be like, oh, I'm waiting for my Boaz. Like I'm waiting for like God to give me a husband, you know, for God to like arrange it.
Oh my God.
But like when you actually read the story, it's like, you're gonna do what?
Like, oh my God.
Is that really the story you want to be following?
I feel like texting, would you betray me with a kiss, is much less bad than wanting to
waiting for your Boaz.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you're right.
Sorry, but I took us away from the bitchy email.
No, who cares? I think we've done it justice.
Yeah. It's basically.
We invested about
Diatrephes.
About as much time in this as John did, so.
Do you know, okay, it kind of sounds like Paul to me.
It is Paul-esque.
In that Paul is often bitchy.
He is, and specifically a bunch of his bitchy letters ended up in the Bible.
Yeah. What do you think, why did they put this in here? It doesn't even mention Jesus.
I think because it got lumped in with the other two Johns.
But like, why?
Oh, you know what? I bet it's because it's like relating to the whole thing of like, hear how your neighbors will talk about you. Like, will gossip about you if you are not a good Christian.
Gossiping is one of the worst things that you can possibly do in Christianity.
Yeah.
But it's not, is it a sin?
Yes.
Oh my, yes.
But which sin is it? Because there's envy, well, eating too much.
There are no, there's
gluttony.
Yep. Envy and eating too much.
Lust. Wait, I can think of the rest. Wait.
So those are the seven deadly sins?
Oh, there's more?
There's way more.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And that's only in Catholicism. So like I was raised Protestant, I never learned the seven deadly sins.
So are there any like seven fun sins or like seven holy virtues?
Yes, there's seven holy virtues. And I don't know what those are either because I wasn't raised Catholic. But that was good. That was good knowledge. Did you know that?
That there were Catholic virtues as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were seven?
I didn't know that there were seven. I always got them confused with the virtues of antiquity or whatever
those are called. I don't know those either.
Probably like
prudence, chastity.
Yeah.
I think those are.
Yeah, those are those.
Oh, shit. I have no idea.
And charity.
Like anything that's like a Puritan female name, mm-hmm. that's in there. But yeah, there's hella sins.
Oh, yeah. We got them all. Yeah.
Yeah. Gossip is one.
But gossip is specifically called out in the text many times.
Yeah.
That like
gossip is like pretty highly prioritized as being a bad sin.
Yeah.
But this is gossip.
But this is gossip.
This book is gossip is only okay if you're talking about how good or bad of a Christian someone is and how it
reflects. You better be in the right.
Yeah.
You better be an actual apostle if you're gonna pull that shit.
You better be the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have a question about the disciples.
Yeah.
So whenever someone dies and like in real life and like,
okay.
Not in the Bible, but like when someone dies in real life, there's always,
they also die in the Matrix.
Yes. Yeah. In political cartoons, it'll show like the pearly gates of heaven, right. And then like the person approaching and then,
St. Peter,
why does he get the heaven gig? Why is he the hostess of heaven?
Well, the answer to that is I don't 100% know because it's a Catholic thing.
Oh.
And so Protestantism doesn't have saints and heaven isn't like doesn't have a hostess.
Yeah. And we checked and that's not in the Bible. So
but Peter was like kind of the like number one disciple. And so his name is Peter. That's a nickname. It means rock, you know, like saltpeter, like petrified. Yeah.
I know that from a YA book from Australia. It's really good, called Saving Francesca. This is my recommendation. Saving Francesca by Melina Marchetta. It's not about Christianity. It's about friendship and depression.
We usually really do our good. Recommendations at the end.
Sorry. But.
We don't do recommendations.
But that's how I know Peter means rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a friend named Peter in college.
So that's
his... who I would be like, that means rock. And he was Jewish. So he was like, okay.
Like, that's not my gig. But yeah, so he's nicknamed that because he's like the rock of the church. His real name is Simon, but he's called Peter because he's the rock of the church. So I guess that's why he's the hostess. But I don't know beyond that.
No, I don't know either.
Also, it's kind of sucky that the number one apostle is like the hostess of heaven.
Shouldn't he be like chilling? Shouldn't he get to relax?
Well, you'd think the number one apostle...
He was crucified upside down.
...would get to live to live closest to Jesus in heaven.
Well, Jesus tells all the disciples that they'll be at his right hand in heaven.
Right.
I mean, except Judas. Womp womp.
Oh, because he betrayed him with a kiss.
Yes, betrayed him with a kiss.
With a makeout session.
Depends. You can read it however you want. That's the beauty of the Bible.
You can make it say whatever you want.
But maybe it's like, if Peter is the hostess, Jesus is the manager, and his dad is the owner, which is nepotism.
You've exposed a huge problem.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated because Jesus and his dad are like the same thing.
Are also the same.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So it really, it's like, you know, it's more like fraud than nepotism, because he's like paying himself an extra paycheck, but it's actually him.
He's like using a dead person's social security number to collect social security or whatever, collect welfare. It's funny that, like, that kind of makes sense. That's like similar in Hinduism, because, like, for example, when we had our mutual friend Tespi on, and she was talking about how Muslims are like, what the hell? You're not monotheists. You have a trinity. What do you know, like, how can you claim to be monotheists? But then, like, in Hinduism, it's kind of the same. It's like, yeah, there's one god, but just has multiple forms.
Yeah, there's, like, three main gods. Brahma, who's the creator, Vishnu, who's the protector, and Shiva, who's the destroyer. And they're all married. Because why not? They're all married. Most gods are married.
This is the other problem with monotheism, is that whenever a culture becomes monotheistic, all the female gods get struck out. You know? Like, it's never, you never have one god and it's a female.
Yeah.
Like, way back in the day in early Jewish history, there was like a big conflict because people were like postulating who
God's wife was. This is like not in the Bible. This is like pre-Bible.
Yeah.
Like super ancient Judaism.
She got cut. She got cut from the story.
Yeah.
That sucks. But the kind of, makes me think of how another way I learned about the Bible was through the Da Vinci Code.
Oh my God.
Reading that book. And I was like, this is all true, right? Like, afterwards, I was like, why aren't we all talking about Mary Magdalene? Like, isn't she also part? Like, I would literally be like, that is fact. That is a factual thing.
Yes, virtually none of that is true. And we've actually guessed it on another podcast about bad books where we discussed the Da Vinci Code. And a couple weeks ago, we did an episode on Mary Magdalene. So we now know, like, all the real stuff. And the Da Vinci Code is like, there's, like, nothing even remotely accurate in it.
No, but it is a rip-roaring adventure. And a serious page-turner, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I read it when I was 9, so I had low standards.
Oh my God, how young are you?
No, maybe I was 11. Is that better?
Are you? No. How much younger than me are you?
How old is
Get out of this apartment.
When did that book come out again?
It came out when I was like a senior in high school.
What year was that?
2005?
Oh, so then I was 15.
Okay, that's fine.
Is that better?
That's fine. I will allow you to stay on this podcast.
I just get confused. I was reading Harry Potter when I was 9.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
What was I going to say? But I know that she was a prostitute.
She was not.
Oh, okay. Fine. But, like, I also learned.
That is a popular misconception, though, that lots of Christians also have.
But that's also related to another book I read that was a good book.
Uh-huh. The good book? The Bible?
No. The Bible. It was called Bible.
it was about Mary Magdalene. I don't remember what it was called, but it was by Donna Jo Napoli.
Who's that?
Who's it? I think she wrote a lot of interesting books, like that I loved when I was in middle school. But like, so I read this Mary Magdalene book when I was in middle school. She. Like, she has this whole life before she goes to start following. Like, the book ends with her following Jesus. She's like, well, my husband died because he was murdered and I lost this baby, so time to go follow Jesus.
Wow. I mean, that's not in the Bible, but, she does have... I mean, she's an adult. We only see her as an adult. We don't know anything about her backstory,
mm-hmm.
except that she wasn't a prostitute.
That was a different person, yeah.
And then in the book, she... I think she stutters, or she has, like, a speech impediment.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Classic way to give a character a little life.
Well, you know, Moses had a speech impediment. Mm-hmm. He had a stutter.
I think so. I've heard that in like a, what is that, public speaking club?
Toastmasters?
Yeah, I think I've heard that before.
Have you attended Toastmasters?
Yeah, I have. I was not presenting.
What did your parents think about you, like, reading a book about Mary Magdalene or, like, watching Claymation
They
Jesus?
Did not know.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
Would they have disapproved?
I think they would have been a little weirded out and kind of... They definitely would have taken that book about Mary Magdalene away from me. Because it was not appropriate. But I think the thing is like, oh, she's watching a cartoon and she's not bothering us. Which makes them sound terrible, but they're not terrible.
No, that's 100% of parents, I think, are just like... Is it keeping her quiet? Great.
Yeah.
Will it actually kill her? No? All right.
Yeah. And, one more thing I wanted to add about how I learned about the Bible is, like, I think I told you about this about a web comic called Holy Bibble.
Oh, yeah. You did tell me about this because we call it Bibble sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We talk
because we're mature adults.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, like, talking Bibble mm-hmm. and learning all the Bibble. Yeah.
The Bibli. Eddie Izzard calls it, but so the Holy Bible is just like this funny comic about Christianity, about like the first book. I think you told me, like, it's
Genesis,
just, like, yeah, Genesis, and is it Lot and Lot's wife? Also,
yes,
yeah.
That
so
is
yeah,
Genesis.
I might have kept going, but I stopped for a while because there was some drama with like the people who created it. Were like,
oh, I thought
had
you
pretended
like...
to be men, but then they were actually women, and they had been hiding behind like male personas. But like the stuff was still good. I was just like, this is getting very complicated, and I feel like it's the same note over and over again of like people sleeping with people that is really creepy, and also like,
for example, Lot's daughters do sleep with Lot.
Yeah, yes. Exactly, yeah. And like, and also these angels who seem like jerks. And also I want Lilith to come back, but she left in the first like 5 pages.
She's not actually in the Bible.
That's what I know, but I was just like, but they put her in there. But it's like, it's fine. I don't think Holy Bible was accurate.
Well, I think we've talked enough and possibly too much about 3 John. So there's only one thing left to do, which is rate this book.
Rate this book.
I'm going to give it 2 out of 8 malicious nonsenses.
And why is that?
It's not much of anything. It's got a little, you know, a little flavor to it in the way of a bitchy email, which I enjoy. Should be cut from the Bible because it's just a waste of everybody's time. It's not much there.
I'm going to give it 3 out of 9 Demetrii.
Okay.
There's nothing in it, and it shouldn't be in the Bible.
Cool.
However, I did find it more entertaining than 2 John,
mm-hmm.
And the lack of content is actually slightly interesting. It's slightly interesting that there is a book in the New Testament that doesn't mention Jesus.
I agree.
It's kind of like the book of Esther in the Old Testament doesn't mention God.
Mm-hmm.
I do find that mildly interesting, so I'm going to give it 3 out of 9.
Purely on a metatextual basis?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Lugna, how about you?
I think I would give it 5 out of 6 blasphemous texts.
Dang, you're going high.
Yeah, I love it. It's got gossip. It's got gossip that is not even on the page. It's like, I'll tell you when we can talk in person.
I'll tell you in person.
It's got talking about how great you are. It's got, I'm kind of rating this as like a bitchy email, like you how should. Good of a bitchy email it
but
is.
That's great.
As opposed to how good of a, and it was short. It was short and sweet and to the point it's like, we're great. He thinks he's better, but he's wrong and he's going to be rude. And also this guy is cool. Like, you should follow him on Twitter. Like,
it's Demetrius. What a guy.
He tweets a lot about sports, but he's also got some like good jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like who has not among us sent an email like this, that if it was put in a Bible,
mm-hmm. we would be embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah. We would be embarrassed. And also even more embarrassed if Lauren gave us a low rating.
Thank you very much, Selegna. Thank you for coming on and reading this wonderful, wonderful
strange
book of the Bible with
book.
Us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can follow the show on Twitter at SunSchoolDrop.
And the same URL on Facebook. Facebook.com/sunschooldrop.
If you have letters to send us, including your comments, opinions, maybe your bitchy gossip,
ooh.
You can send it to us at contact@sundayschooldropouts.lol.
That is contact@sundayschooldropouts.lol, not .com. That will take you to a very bad place.
Yeah, that's the place where everybody is talking about you right now, and you simply don't want to be a part of that. It's not good for your mental health.
As always, we thank Elise Carlton for our beautiful logo, and I thank Nico for sound engineering, music, and editing.
You're very welcome. We'll be back next week with more Sunday School Dropping Out. My brain actually
prop drought
died there for a moment.
All right, cool. See you Sunday.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Bye.